Thank you, Judy. You know, Judy's sick and she still gets up here and plays. I was telling her this morning when Bill asked her if we wanted to use her recordings, which we have several of, she goes, "No, I can play, even though I'm sick. I can play even when I'm sleeping." And I told her, I said, "Live Judy is always better. We are blessed with the technology of having her recorded, but live Judy is always better." Would you turn to your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11, please? Our brother Bill read in the men's meeting this morning from Ezekiel. So I'd like to open with that as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 11. In Ezekiel 37, verse 13, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it, saith the Lord." Are you with me in chapter 11 of Isaiah? Let's look at verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." I spoke in my prayer about Moses. Imagine what he must have felt like standing before the king of all the land there. This morning I'm standing before the king of everything.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a speech impediment. I'm a sinner. There is no good in me. There never has been. I was born dead in trespasses and sin. And if there is any life in me now, it is not I that live, but yea, that is Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
These words that we just read, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might," these all come from this thing that we see at the end, and of the fear of the Lord. In Psalms 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This wisdom that rests upon this branch, this one who is known as the Messiah, this one who is called Jesus Christ the Lord, this wisdom comes from reverential fear of the Lord. Not like those men that we saw in Bible study who were afraid for their lives, but fear for the Lord in a reverential way that shows, "I am nothing. I have nothing of myself to stand before this God, this King, this Lord of all." This reverence, is this high esteeming, is of one of the Lord who is compared to everything else. He is high above everything. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge. This one who was with the Father from all eternity past, this one who was with God and was God, as it says in John 1:1, "He became flesh and dwelt among us." He is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that he would give to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a people that he would redeem. And redeemed he did. He redeemed his people by coming to the cross of Calvary, laying down his life, shedding his own blood in their stead, taking the wrath that they deserved upon himself as their substitute. He was made to be sin for them so that they would be made righteous in him. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Fear, reverence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. This is the beginning of wisdom. My prayer for you this morning is the prayer our brother Paul had for the church at Ephesus. Are you with me in Ephesians? Look at verse 15 of chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I had heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The title for my message this morning is the Spirit of Wisdom. What is it to have the Spirit of Wisdom? Why should we have it? Why should God give us his Spirit of Wisdom? In Romans 8, we read in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's why. For the love Jesus Christ had for his people before the world was, that's why he would give us his Spirit. It is part of our inheritance as adopted children of the Lord Jesus. But who are the us? Who are those that he freely gives all things? All of those who were chosen in Christ. Look over at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Imagine that. God sees you holy. Who are the us? All of those who were predestinated to be adopted children by Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good will, to the good pleasure of his will. Now, if you think for one second that it's your free will that brings you to God, this verse right here says, no, you're wrong. For the good pleasure of his will. I thank God he made a decision for me long before I ever was. I remember a time when I was walking without the knowledge of the Lord, and I know I would not have chosen him then. I would have never set foot in this church if he had not chosen me before. Who are those? Who are the us? All of those who were accepted in the Beloved. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who are the us? All of those who have been redeemed through his blood. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are remembered no more. I can't wait till the day when I stand with my Lord and I remember my sins no more. How shall he, the one who created all things, how shall he not with the Lord Jesus give us all things? Because he spared not his own son. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are the us. The whosoever that believeth on him. Those who have received the gift of faith. That's what that means. To believe is to have faith. To believe God's word about the true and living Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. These who have received the gift of faith that is spoken of in verse 8 of chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. But this wisdom is not a wisdom that you can get from books, going to college, studying. This wisdom cannot come by anything that man can do. This man who stands before you is merely one who reads the words. I cannot speak to your heart. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of wisdom speaking to the heart of his people to make his word effectual to you. I don't recall it, but I remember sitting in the presence of men who preached, and as I understand, they were grace preachers. O.C. Harris, my own stepfather, Calvin Samuel Ellis. But I don't recall what they had to say. I never heard what they had to say. Not with the heart. It wasn't until the day the Lord's power took control of my life, turned me in the way that he would a river, to hear his gospel preached before I could hear and understand and have faith in him. The things of man are of this world. God's ways are not our ways. Christ comes to his peoples when they are dead in trespasses and sin, and he quickens them. He gives life through the preaching of the gospel, the only gospel, Christ and him crucified. Hold your place here in Ephesians and turn over a couple pages to the left, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is the gospel that we speak about, Christ and him crucified. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the Christ is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, there's that us, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It must come from Christ himself. This wisdom must be revealed from God the Father. Our Lord comes to each of his blood-bought children and he calls them unto the wisdom unto himself through the preaching of his word. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, when Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God, after the question, who do you say that I am? Blessed is Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this to him, but my Father which is in heaven. We cannot get there because we got smart and exercised our so-called free will. We cannot get there because we got smart one day. I'm tired of not being smart, tired of doing stupid stuff. I'm going to get up and make a decision for Jesus. That's not the way it works. In Romans 9:15, you don't have to turn there, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We must be given the spirit of wisdom, as it says in verse 17. But before we go back there, I want you to look at verses 29 and 31 of 1 Corinthians, before we leave there. 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now you can go back to Ephesians, please. You see, folks, the spirit of wisdom is the gift of knowing. And the gift of knowing is all of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. There is no room for anything of you to hang on to. It is not of your works or of your will or anything else that you can think of in yourself. It is of Christ and Christ alone. That's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish. When our Lord said, "It is finished," that took all that man could do out of the picture. And that goes against our very nature. For in our very nature, there is always something we can do, isn't there? Natural man said, "What must I do to be saved?" Isn't that what they're telling the people in most churches today? This is what you must do. Come forth. Pray a prayer with me. Make a decision. Choose whether you're going to take God or not. What must you do to be saved? Our Lord says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Colossians 3:1. You don't need to turn there. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth." Right now, we are of earth. We stand in these bodies here on this earth, buried in our own sin, dead in trespasses. And that's where we look for our salvation. Until God comes along.
Yes, sir.
And through the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the things of heaven, He takes us out and puts us in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Are you with me in Ephesians again?
Yes.
Let's look at verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling." "And what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power." "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth in all." Folks, I say again that if your trust is in anything that you might find in yourself, then throw it out. This Spirit of wisdom that I so hope and desire for you, it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks only of Christ. In Christ the Lord, is Christ the Lord your all in all? I'd like to read an article in today's bulletin, if you would. You can read along with me. It's on the inside middle page, and it's written by Pastor Henry Mahan on the bottom left-hand side. "True faith is built upon the strongest evidence possible, the Word of God. True faith is a total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ." Is that not what we've been saying? Turn away from self. Turn to Christ. "True faith is a total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for all our needs, such as forgiveness, sanctification, peace, and eternal life. The believer renounces all confidence in his flesh and rejoices only in Christ Jesus and worships God in spirit. He feeds upon Christ as the bread of life, embraces Christ as his wedding garment, derives all strength and comfort from Christ, and trusts himself to care of Christ as his shepherd, to the care of Christ as his shepherd, his teacher, his priest, and king. This is the life of faith. Where is your faith this morning? Is Christ your Lord? Is he your all in all? Does your heart burn within you as you see the things of Christ brought out in Scripture? In 1 Corinthians 2, you don't need to turn there. Allow me to read verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I'm just like you are, folks. There's no difference between me and you. Except for I'm more nervous than you are right now. I'm with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Not enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, how I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of all glory, the Creator of all things, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please?